You're listening to the Hello Wyoming podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about the Beartooth Scenic Byway. I'm Charles Lammers with the Wyoming Office of Tourism. Today we have Emily Sweat and Brian Beauvais with us. Emily works with the City of Cody and Brian is with the Park County Archives. Welcome to both of you today.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Emily, go ahead and give me a little introduction of who you are and what you do in Cody.
Sure. I am a city council member for the City of Cody. And then in that capacity, I also serve on our Park County Travel Council. I'm on a few other boards in the community. Yeah, I love this community and love where we live. So
awesome. Brian, what do you do?
I'm the curator of the Park County Archives here in Cody. So it's my job to collect, preserve, and research local history, and then help the public learn about local history, the local history of Wyoming. And I really love to get outside and look into a lot of that geographic history of Park County.
Excellent. There's a lot of history up there. So I know you have a very important job. Sounds like both of you have a lot of involvement in Park County. I'm going to call you both professional locals.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of pressure.
I tend to do that. I give people names that they're not ready to receive. But you know what? I think this one's safe. All right. Now that we've gotten to know both of you, let's get into today's episode, Wyoming's Beartooth Scenic Byway. This 68-mile road is east of Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming's northwest corner, winding through the Shoshone National Forest and wandering between Wyoming and Montana. You're going to have to prepare yourself for beautiful views before embarking on this drive, as there are lots of stops at trailheads, lookout points, and some absolutely stunning scenery and wildlife. So let's start off by talking about the history of the Beartooth, which is actually a national scenic byway. What's the story behind this road, Brian?
So the Beartooth Scenic Highway was opened in 1936, and it's really the only way up and over the Beartooth Mountains, which are a massive mountain range in northern Wyoming and southern Montana. A lot of the Beartooth Plateau is over 10,000 feet, massive alpine area up there with a lot of pinnacles, a lot of plateaus, very high mountains.
So Brian, the Beartooth is an interesting name. Is the road called the Beartooth? Is there a formation somewhere that gives it its name, the Beartooth? Does it have Native American origins? Where does it come from?
Yeah, the Beartooth Mountains names comes from a very sharp pinnacle that's actually visible from the Beartooth Highway. It's called the Bear's Tooth, which is where the mountains get their names.
Are there signs that kind of point to that formation anywhere, or is it just something people would have to know to look out for?
I think there is a pull-off and roadside markers that point you to the actual Beartooth. It's in a big rock cirque on top of the Beartooth.
Awesome. Sounds like a really cool rock formation that I would definitely want to keep an eye out for if I was traveling the Beartooth Highway. You know, CBS journalist Charles Curral once called it the most beautiful drive in America, and I always see a ton of photographers up on this highway. What do you think sets Beartooth apart as such a stunning drive compared to some of the other scenic byways in Wyoming?
I think it's unique because it offers an opportunity to get into that upper mountain area, that alpine area, that tundra area, up above treeline, way above treeline, that few other roads in the country really offer. There are a few down in like Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park. The Beartooth Scenic Highway is really unique in that sense.
It's one of the unique scenic byways in Wyoming because it's one of the few places you can see actual glaciers. Is that correct?
Yes, there are a few glaciers up in the Beartooth.
So seeing large glaciers and flowery alpine meadows in the same time of year is surreal. Now, you can't see this road in the winter because the weather conditions are just too extreme and it's too hard to keep open. But when you can travel this road in the summer, it's crazy that you can see things that are frozen and thawed. And to your point, you know, tundra as well. And we're not in Alaska, but there is tundra up there.
Definitely. And I think one of the most fun things, I mean, I think last year we went cross-country skiing up there at the end of May. And we'll take, so I worked at a dude ranch up in the Sunlight Basin area, which would every Thursday take the kids program to the Beartooth Mountains. And they would say, make sure you bring your gloves and your snow jackets and your sleds. And they would go sledding. And this is middle of June, middle of July. Maybe towards the end of July, the snow would kind of start to lessen up a little bit. But I mean, we'd have people from all over the country come and just continue to be surprised that there's still snow up there in the middle of the summer. It's crazy.
It's always fun up there to see people who have just looked in their car to see anything they can sled on. I've seen people sledding on trash bags, on emergency snow shovels, anything they can find. Because when you find that there's snow out there in the middle of the summer, you've got to take advantage of it.
Well, and I think we get so many people from other areas of the country, particularly the Southeast and, you know, Texas and a lot of the southern states where they just don't get a lot of snow. And so if they do get snow, they can't sled on it. And so they're overjoyed to see. I know we've been up there when tourists will kind of sort of look around and kind of just be confused about why there's snow on the ground. And they're like, no, it actually is snow. You can pick it up and it's cold. And yeah, I'm with you, though. People will sled on just about anything.
Yeah, not the best snow for a snowball fight. It's kind of painful. So I wouldn't recommend that. But for sledding, and if you haven't seen snow before, even in the summer, it's a great place to actually see it. Now, this highway has some of the most stunning scenery that I've seen in my life. And I have a good friend. His name's Andy Austin, and he shoots a lot of content in this area. And he did a small motorcycling campaign a little bit ago, and he chose the Beartooth Highway for that. And he's not alone. A lot of car commercials are actually filmed on the Beartooth Highway. Here at the Wyoming Office of Tourism, we also manage the Wyoming Film Office, and we get a lot of location requests for bendy highways. And if we're being honest, it's one of two highways that are usually recommended. It's the Beartooth Highway in Park County, or it's 14A over by Sheridan. Those are the two most iconic bendy, twisty roads that major car companies are looking for. And besides that, photographers love this area as well. Are there some locations you would recommend that are your favorite photogenic spots?
So going up the Beartooth from the south offers countless opportunities to pull off the road and just get crazy vistas back into the Clarks Fork Canyon area and looking down at the Absorcas. And then on the other side, you can look down into this steep canyon of Rock Creek going down into Red Lodge as well. And again, it's one of those places that you can go anywhere on the drive and look in a 360 degrees around you and just see high mountains and an alpine tundra. So there's not a bad place to look on the Beartooth Scenic Drive.
Awesome. That leads me into my next question. I know both of you are very into outdoor recreation. What are some of your favorite outdoor rec opportunities that happen to be along the Beartooth?
Well, I think, like I said, it's a fun place to cross-country ski if you can make it up there. I know in the very beginning, and I don't know if it'll happen this year, they have an alpine ski shoot, which I'll let Brian talk about in a second, but kind of similar hiking, sledding, all that kind of stuff. I don't think we've taken our mountain bikes up there, but it's another great place. Just there's so many different spots that you can stop and go for a hike. And again, carrying that bear spray, but it's hard to go wrong with any sort of outdoor recreation in that capacity.
So the hiking in the Beartooth is wonderful. It's also kind of odd because most hiking opportunities, you start at the trailhead and then you hike up and you hike back down to the trailhead. The Beartooth is weird because you'll start the hike and go down and then you'll have to hike back up to the trailhead, which sometimes gets people because they think the hike's going to be so easy as they're hiking down a mountain, realize they have to go back up. The fishing in the Beartooth is wonderful. There are so many small alpine lakes that have brook trout and also Arctic grayling. And these remote fishing lakes are very highly prized by people who just want to go back into the backcountry, catch a bunch of trout that don't really have a lot of experience with fishermen. We mentioned skiing before. We go up there and cross-country ski with our dogs. There's also the Beartooth Basin Ski Area, which offers sort of a backcountry, they call it a backcountry skiing experience with two rope tows. And I went and skied there, I think, in late June last year. It's pretty intense. It's pretty steep for as far as skiing goes, but it's really fun. And even it's just fun to drive up there and stop at the ski area. And even if you don't ski, look at all the people that are skiing down this cornice and going off doing jumps and flips over the cornice into the basin.
Yeah, that would not be a beginner thing to do. I would not even attempt that, but
It's definitely advanced skiing.
I just applaud your ability to train your dogs to cross-country ski.
It's hard to get all four paws on the skis, so. You know, but they make it work.
I bet. Do they need four skis? Yeah, or does how does that work? Skis, they still have right? two? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, now that we know the experts in dog country skiing, we'll probably have to send people your way to get that training. So, I'm sorry. Was that too cheesy?
I thought it was funny.
Dog jokes aside, we know that like any spot in Wyoming, there's activities for most people of most abilities. I know that the Beartooth itself has some outstanding overlooks for people of a lesser ability, all the way to extreme hiking. What are some tips that you would give people and some things that people would need to bring as they traverse this highway for various activities?
So they need to bring water and remember the altitude of the Beartooth Mountains. This is over 10,000 feet. It's very easy to get dehydrated. So you need to drink water and also maybe even have some oxygen because people do get altitude sickness at over 10,000 feet, which is a serious altitude to travel.
The other thing that seems, I always kind of chuckle, but it's true, is if you're going to be standing outside, you will burn your face so much faster at 10,000 feet than you will at sea level or even at 5,000 feet. I mean, you could be outside for 20 minutes and the sun is just so strong and so powerful that, you really do need some sunscreen anywhere that your skin is exposed. So just little things like that, water, especially if you've, just flown in the day before and you're coming from someplace with sea level, even, people from Cody, it's double the elevation that we have here. So just remembering those little things that actually can make a big difference. I mean, I think just, again, like any sort of adventure or outing, just making sure that you have, there's not a restaurant at the top. So making sure you have food. If you're planning to get outside of your car, make sure you've got appropriate foot gear. To my knowledge, the pull-offs aren't quite as well paved and as well marked as some of the other scenic byways. So just making sure that, if you've got flip-flops on that might be gravelly and that kind of stuff. And I would just be prepared for maybe getting all four seasons in one day. If you're going and it's 80 degrees down in Cody or somewhere else in Yellowstone, it might be 40 up at the top of the Beartooth Pass. So just be prepared for just about anything.
I would also say when Emily's talking about the sun, to just bring a jacket. I know it's probably 80 or 90 down in Cody, but it is not going to be 80 or 90 degrees up on top of the Beartooth Mountains. So even if it's July or August, bring a jacket, bring long pants, because you are most likely going to want those.
Great advice. And, to your point, that weather in Wyoming can change on the minute, it seems. I've been driving through Cheyenne and there's been sun on my windshield in one block and the next block there's been snow. It is probably much more apt to change at that elevation. So good things to keep in mind. So we're talking about Cody being the southern portal city of the Beartooth Highway and Red Lodge, Montana at the north. Being someone who were to travel north to south, what are some of the things to know about Cody that they could take advantage of? I know there's a ton of neat stuff to do. You can shoot guns in Cody. You can see a shootout in Cody. You can eat a bison steak in Cody, or you can eat a fantastic salad in Cody. I know it has everything. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Honestly, there truly is so much for any age range and, kind of any ability level. I think that you can take your family whitewater rafting. There are fishing guides that can, take you out on float trips or things like that. Obviously, we highly recommend booking those in advance because I know they get so busy in the summertime. There's so much history. So we've got the Buffalo Bill Center of the West, which has five different museums in it. So you could have grandma and grandpa enjoying one part and your kids enjoying another part. The rodeo is always a crowd favorite and something I always recommend. That's every day from June 1st to the end of August, every night, assuming the weather has to be pretty bad for them to cancel the rodeo. There's like standing water and it's so muddy that the horses, it's just unsafe for the animals. But I mean, there's tons of outdoor recreation, mountain biking trails. What else is there to do?
Horseback riding.
A lot of places, will offer day rides or several hour rides here and there. There's no shortage of places to get a good steak, that's for sure. So if you're looking for red meat or to try bison meat, Cody Firearms Experience, so you can go shoot the Gatling gun, which I think is particularly exciting for international guests or international tourists here. They're always surprised when they can go have that experience there.
And they're always surprised how safe it is, too. A lot of times when you think of shooting guns, you just think, you know, I mean, at least being in Wyoming, I think of a farmer in his field just shooting a gun with no ear protection or anything like that, because that's just what I grew up around. But the Cody Firearms Experience, they handle everything. You get earplugs, you will get safety goggles. There is such a low margin of risk when you're shooting guns at the Cody Firearms Experience. It's so much fun. I've done that multiple times. Highly recommend it. Would you say that you could spend multiple days in Cody?
Absolutely. And because there's just so much to do in the surrounding areas as well, you could definitely spend, I think museum tickets are good for 2 days, I think. So, you know, that could by itself spend, if you buy it one morning, it's good all that day and the next day. So that could take up 2 days right there.
I think a lot of people stay in Cody and just sort of use it as their headquarters. One day they'll go up to Yellowstone. Another day they'll go over to the Bighorns. The next day, they'll go over the Beartooth Highway and the Red Lodge and back down to Cody. So it's kind of a centrally located town.
Awesome. Sounds like a great hub for any of the activities that you would have in the northwest corner of Wyoming. Anything else you'd like to add about the Beartooth Scenic Byway or Cody before we let you go?
I think the Beartooth Scenic Byway is another one of those, maybe not necessarily in your face. Again, we talk so much about Cody and Yellowstone. And again, we were just traveling internationally and people would ask us where we were from. And we would say, oh, we're from Cody, Wyoming. And you kind of get that blank stare. And then you say, oh, you know Yellowstone National Park, and everyone knows Yellowstone. But just taking the extra time to go over something like the Beartooth Highway, I think in a lot of ways, the experience doing that can be so much better than maybe spending however many days in the park. So I think just because it doesn't have that Yellowstone designation doesn't make it any less of an incredible experience.
I just think there are so few opportunities to see that type of landscape from a road without having to hike 30, 40, 50 miles that the Beartooth Highway is really special in that sense. It's also a great place to see mountain goats. There are a ton of mountain goats up there, and in the summer, they just hang out along the road.
Yeah, there aren't many places where you can see that.
I'm a fan of mountain goats.
Awesome. I think they're hilarious. They're the only animal that I've ever seen that will lick a vehicle that's parked. I'm not kidding. When you in the winter, when you get salt and road stuff on your car, they will come up and lick it. You know, they like that salt. It's probably not the best for them, but you know, animals got to get their minerals in different ways than humans do.
Yep.
We'll have to give that a try. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't lick my car, but it also is, I'm a human. But all right. Anyway, I appreciate both of you being here today to talk to me about the Beartooth Highway with us. It's great to get an insider perspective on such a stunning road from a couple of great locals. To our listeners, when traveling, make sure you visit Wyoming responsibly. Visit travelwyoming.com to visit your Wyoming vacation. And if you're in the area of Cody, be sure to visit codyyellowstone.org. Don't forget to follow along on our social media channels. Use hashtag Wyoming and hashtag That's Why as you post. See you on the next episode of Hello Wyoming. This has been another episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Charles Lammers and produced by Relic.